Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Chwaba.
So tonight's question, what is the worst thing about summer festivals? We're going negative. Join the fun. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to Nightlight. He is a music promoter and the author of the new book, We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. Peter Jess joins me now on Nightlight. Hey, Peter.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Congrats on the book.
Oh, thank you so much. A lot of the credit goes to Amy Waldman, who mostly wrote it, but it's my story, so they gave me co-author.
Oh, that even works better when you don't have to do the tedious stuff with grammar and stuff like that. That's even better.
I never finished college, so I had to have a professional.
All right. Well, there you go. That's a truly brilliant person understands their shortcomings and surrounds themselves with confident people, right? Or competent people.
That's right.
And you sound like you did pretty well for yourself in the music promoting game. Enough to write a book, certainly, which is cool. Let me ask you before we get into the book. What I'm kind of fascinated because that's just a profession I don't know a lot about. Like I've met promoters, I used to do stand-up comedy, but never like big music promoters. That's a really cool thing. What led you to that profession?
Well, I really liked music. I had really bad asthma as a kid, so I couldn't do sports, and I only could find middle C on the piano, so I wasn't musically inclined. But I love music, so I used to win contests all the time and win records and. So I'd be fascinated with music, and I really couldn't do anything else. My grades were terrible in anything, and I just sort of picked up on following concerts and, became a runner and assistant for a local promoter. And when they went out of business, it was like, okay, either sink or swim. Now you got to try it yourself.
So that's great, but how do you go about, like, let's say you have a space and you say, I want to book a band here. You go to the people that own the space, you go to the band. It seems like a ton of work.
Yeah, there's probably just really a dozen or maybe a dozen and a half agencies that have 90% of the touring act. So you have to have some kind of reputation or in because no one wants to sell a newcomer an act.
Right.
So it's very hard. And nowadays with Live Nation doing most of it, it's even harder.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. So when did you think you had enough stories to fill a book? What made you want to write the book? What got you over
really
the edge?
During the pandemic, I guess I took after my mother and saved everything from my 40 years of concert promotion, contracts, previews, reviews, and files. And I would post a few things on my Facebook page, like a contract for Pearl Jam for $500. Contract for Alanis Morissette for $500. And my friend Amy Waldman, who we weren't close friends, but, a Facebook friend, said, you should write a book. And I said, I can't write a book. She said, well, I'll write it. She's a librarian, always wanted to write a book. And I had nothing else to do during the pandemic, so it sort of worked out. So
that's so great. So where can people find it?
It's out now. It's published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press,
okay.
Which is a great asset for us people in Wisconsin. They do a lot of good stuff for different Wisconsin stories. So, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the big stores have it, but, it's every bookstore should have it. It's because the publisher does a good job of putting it in stores.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. So, all right. So you've got this book. You've got all this information. What would people read in the book and be surprised to see?
It's a lot of goofy. Well, one is that I went to UW-Milwaukee for 7 years and had a 1.8 grade point average with 23 credits. So I never graduated. I never really went. It's just sort of a bunch of fun stories from my time with the Violent Femmes, booking a lot of their shows, to John Prine, to a Sam Kinison show, to, Adam West. The Red Hot Chili Peppers show in Green Bay, of course, was classic.
Tell me about
Riverside
that.
Riverside Ballroom, where the they went on stage with nothing but socks, and the socks weren't on their feet, and the socks fell off, and the police raided the Riverside Ballroom. So that's a pretty classic story.
I do remember that. So when was that?
That was November of 89.
Oh, my gosh. And you booked that show, or you promoted it? You were the...
Yeah, I booked it. I co-promoted it. I wasn't going to that because I had a show here in Milwaukee, but I had the Chili Peppers the next night in Madison, so I was going to go there, but I sent two of my best friends up, and all of a sudden I get a call. You know, they're naked and running through a cornfield. I said, what? The police are chasing them. And, yeah, I mean, I think for Green Bay, that's probably one of the most historic shows is the Red Hot Chili Peppers in November of 89.
That's so funny. I had no idea that was Green Bay. I mean, I remember reading about that, but or hearing about it, but that's great. So what are your favorite parts of the book, Peter?
I guess how people like John Prine and Arlo Guthrie, you know, became friends with me. They saw something in me, and we just got along like, you know, average people. And I've gone to, you know, baseball and hockey games with John Prine, and
just
how such creative people and I had something to become more than friends after a show. That meant a lot to me.
All right, I'm going to totally geek out now because I saw the John Prine thing in the book description. Tell me about John Prine. He died. He was one of the first COVID deaths, actually. And
yes, I happened to be emailing with his wife that day. I just checking how things are going because I'm just taking John to the to the hospital now. And it was so sad. The last two dates I did with him were Madison and the Fox Cities PAC I did up there. It must have been May of 2019. And, you know, sometimes you're afraid to meet your heroes because you don't want them to be a jerk. But John Prine was exactly what you see, just a sweet, nice guy, and very quiet, you know, because he observed so much.
Yeah.
And that's where those songs came from. You know, he observed average daily people, and he came up with those great songs, but he was just the greatest guy. And, my mom would make him a cake for every show, and we just had a good time. He was really a special person.
You know, I love hearing that because I used to do stand-up comedy. I started in Chicago, and I was based out of there for years, right around the corner from the Old Town Ale House, where I understand he used to go all the time. And part of the fun for me to go there was to see my friends, but also hear stories about John Prine. And I just have never heard a bad word about the guy. So everything you're saying to me about one of my own musical heroes and favorite songwriters is just, this is worth it alone, you being on the show tonight. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, he really, it's not, yes, he's passed and people say nice things about people, but I've never met a person that either does not like John Prine or met him. I mean, I've never saw him angry. He was just your average guy that liked a beer and a hot dog at a baseball game. He really was the salt of the earth. I mean, he always on his birthday, he always went fishing with his buddies and he would never play a concert his birthday weekend, no matter how much money it was. And he just had principles.
I love that.
No, I'm going to go fishing on my birthday. He's such an average guy.
Wow.
But really the smartest guy in the room, just a genius that walked among us.
And you could tell that just if you, and I always thought, I know he's a good guy because of what he sings about and the way he writes. I could just tell that. You know what I mean? Like, it comes across in his lyrics and the simplicity of his music, but there's a genius in that. He was just an absolute treasure.
And he's got that great smile, and he loved performing. You know, some guys go out because they have to or they want to make as much money as they can. John just loved performing. He only did weekends. He goes, I want to fly back home so I can take my kids and pick them up from school every day.
That's so great.
Just a dedicated father.
You've probably heard this. I saw this on a documentary somewhere that Steve Goodman and he were very good friends.
Yes.
And there's a story about Steve Goodman performing, maybe it was at the Old Town Ale House, I don't know, somewhere in Chicago. And Kris Kristofferson came by to see him because he had heard a lot about Steve Goodman. And Steve Goodman, you know, instead of just embracing the moment for himself, said, you really need to meet John Prine and hear his stuff. So John Prine came by and Kris Kristofferson helped them both out. I'm like, what a pal. You've got this great guy who has this life-changing moment, and he includes his best friend in it, and they both benefited from it, which makes me also think Kris Kristofferson's a great guy.
Yeah, they went to New York together, him and Steve, and then met Chris Christopherson, and Chris took him under his belt and hooked him up with someone from the record company, I believe it was.
So great.
But yeah, Steve Goodman was before my time. I mean, I think he passed in the early 80s.
Yeah.
But John sure loved him, and I met, I did a couple of John shows in the Genesee Theater in Waukegan, and Steve Goodman's mother came. She always came to John shows when we did them in Northern Illinois, which was really sweet.
That says a lot about a guy, too, when your friend's mom shows up. But I mean, I just think that's great.
Yeah, everyone just really loved John. I mean, it was just, and I feel bad for people that never heard his music. They got something to pick up on later and, coming up, I guess.
Exactly, so. Right. My guest is Peter Jest. He is the one of the authors of We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. You can find it on Amazon, lots of different places, actual bookstores. Check it out. Can you tell me a little bit about, in the teaser for your book, Peter, you talk about you had to manage a turbulent band. Can you elaborate on that? Can you tell us who it was?
Well, it was more, that's a little deceiving. It's more tour manager. I tour managed Violent Femmes for like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And I was like 20 years old at the time. So, you know, for a 20-year-old trying to manage a rock band on the road, but you know, I've become friends with all the guys. I mean, Brian Ritchie and me just texted tonight. We're really good friends, and it was just like trying to manage three personalities when I'm like 20 years old was more the turbulent thing. And then some of the side guys were like twice my age. Go, you know, what's this 20-year-old guy being the tour manager? We got to listen to him, you know. So it was more the side guys that gave me a little bit of grief. But
you know what? It's interesting. You say, well, I didn't finish college. I didn't have a good GPA. The intelligence and having to manage personalities, not everybody could do that, right? I mean, that is an art in and of itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things than being, one of the things why I want to do the book is I want, you know, maybe parents or someone to look at, you know, my kid, I have two brothers and a sister. They're doctor, nurse, and pharmacist, and they're on this rock promoter. Sometimes you get an oddball that just wants to do something different and, you know, support them in it. You know, not everyone can be an academic.
Yeah. Well, I bet you have the best stories at the Thanksgiving tables, so I'm sure they're thrilled you ended up doing what you did.
Yeah.
Can you tell us where Shank Hall gets its name from? I love this.
Well, back in 1984, the movie Spinal Tap came out, and my friend Dave Lurson, who does the foreword of the book, we sat in the movie theater, and you know it's a mockumentary, and we laughed so hard, and then in the movie, they played like fake venues, you know, it's a fake documentary. And one of them, when they played Milwaukee, it was Shank Hall. I said, oh, if I ever open a live music club, I got to call it Shank Hall because it'll be really funny and all the musicians will get it. And 5 years later, that's what I did. And we have a mini Stone Edge above the drummer. And it's and the guys in the band got a big kick out of it. You know, it's Michael McKean, Harry Shearer, Christopher Guest, and Rob Reiner. And I think they got a big kick that I took a 5-second bit out of the movie and made a music venue. In fact, Michael McKean, if you look at the book, reviewed it and loved it.
Yeah, I saw that he that's so great. That was that hard tracking him down? Probably not if you already knew him. But that's really cool.
Because they played the club on a press conference and they played WM and I had his manager's contact information and I've only talked to him like twice in my life and. He's been so, he's such a busy man, and he took time out to read the book and do a review, which I'm so honored.
How great. I love the scene in Spinal Tap where they're all upset about Small Stonehenge, and they're trying to figure out what to do, and Harry Shearer says, we need to change the choreography.
Right. And he says, does that mean we're not going to do Stonehenge tomorrow? Right, yeah.
I guess
we actually have an 18-inch Stonehenge hanging in the back of the venue.
Oh, I love that. We got to do a quick thing, Peter. Sit tight. I just have a few more questions for you. It's great to have you here. My guest is Peter Jest. He is the author of We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. We'll have more with Peter coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late. Turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. I found myself.
Welcome back. Bridget says, I saw Valerie Bertinelli and her son Wolfgang at the grocery store. She looked like any other mom, tired, overweight, hair tied up, sweats, and loving, like any other mom in the world. That's a great one, Bridget. We are asking people tonight to share your celebrity sightings or encounters, back and forth, what have you, whatever it is. You're welcome to share that with us. We just had a fun talk with Don Rosen, and we even have pictures from some listeners who took pictures of celebrities dining. So share your experience, and we'll read it on the radio, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And now, this is exciting, folks. Another Nightlight frequent flyer is about to join us. If you have not checked out Wisconsinology.com, you simply have to. It's a really wonderful website if you live in Wisconsin, and even if you don't. He's also a very accomplished musician and filmmaker. Frank Anderson joins us now in Nightlight. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I was expecting you to sound really tired when you joined me because I've been trying to have you on the show for a few weeks, and you've been swamped. And what are you working on? Is it exciting stuff, or is it just stuff to pay the bills, or what?
Yeah, but both. Okay. And I don't know who's going to... Okay, I'll tell you. I'll spill some of the beans.
Okay.
I have a lot of projects, but one that you might get a laugh at is... I'm stop motion animating Gallagher talking, the comedian Gallagher.
Oh, wow.
Talking to Pauly Shore, you know, Mr. C-List himself. extended conversation. They don't have any a video of the actual conversation. So I'm creating it in stop motion. It's for a documentary that a lot of really big comedians are a part of. And people like Dave Letterman and et cetera,
wow.
et cetera. That's one project I'm working on.
That's really cool, Frank. Pauly Shore, you know, has ties to Wisconsin. We can talk about that, too.
Oh, can I ever? I'd love to talk to him. I'm sorry I called him Mr. C-List. I mean, I'm Mr. F-minus list, so I have nothing to talk about.
I'm not even on
list. I'm actually beyond the fringe, on the fringe of the fringe.
The only list I'm on, Frank, somehow, is I still get church envelopes for the collection every week. Other than that, I'm on no lists.
Oh, my. Well, Pauly Shore, Mitzi Shore, and his father from Milwaukee.
Howard Shore, yeah.
Of course, is the mother of all L.A. comics, right? I mean, isn't she the den mom of the entire L.A. comic scene? Once again, a Wisconsinite going out there and being the very best at what they do or starting something brand new.
Conquering Hollywood, yeah. She went to high school, I think, in Green Bay, but she lived in Marinette and Menominee for years. And sadly left. I think they left because they were Jewish. Now Marinette had a number of synagogues and or temples back in the day, a surprising amount. I had no idea that many Jewish people lived there, but I don't think their experience was pleasant there. As another friend of mine told me, but, she grew up in that area, then went to Green Bay. And then, as you know, went to UW-Madison and, blessed us with Pauly Shore.
Yes, she did. And all the other comedians, of note.
She got the, I understand she got the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard in the divorce with Howard Shore.
What was his name? This wasn't Howard Shore, wasn't it? No, Howard Shore is the composer.
Oh, really?
Mitzi Shore. I can't think of his name.
Let's Google on the radio.
Yeah, Google on the radio right now. It's a punchy comedian's name.
Yeah.
Howard Shore led the SNL band and scored Lord of the Rings trilogy and Ed Wood, among many other motion pictures.
Sammy Shore.
Sammy, of course. Sammy Shore.
Yeah. Yes. Why did I think it was Howard? Howard's a good show business name, too.
Well, that's okay. Howard's one of my favorite composers.
So there you go. But what was the other project you were going to say you were working on, Frank? I didn't mean to steer you away from that.
Oh, the other one is one I had written, and I still can't talk about.
Oh, okay.
October 11th.
All right.
I'm free from my, I might be free from everything October 11th, but You'll be the first to know.
Pete, you need a co-host?
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be fun for
him. Oh, we're on celebrities, right? Celebrities.
Yeah. And before, let me add one more thing, Frank. Sorry. I just pulled, because I pulled that up when I found out Sammy Shore, and it says right on Wikipedia, Mitzi Shore, born July 25th, 1930, Marinette, Wisconsin. So there you go.
Great.
Yeah.
That's the kind of factoids I love.
Me too. She is a Wisconsin love letter.
Everyone knows Mitzi Shore. Everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Legend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that many people know Sammy Shore.
No. So we have a fair amount of celebrities from Wisconsin. We've had great celebrity sightings here. There have been some good movies.
Have you talked about the Brat Pack?
Extensively. Last night, that was our question. Who are your least and most favorite members of the Brat Pack? And we've talked about the, unless you're saying,
no,
you're making a play on words.
Yes. Oh. The Brat Pack. Not the Brat Pack.
Okay, no.
The Brat Pack.
You're talking about the Johnsonville family.
Are, of course, the hardest working character actors in show business, period. Willem Dafoe, Tony Shalhoub from Green Bay, and Mark Ruffalo.
I love that.
And they're the Brat Pack. And Wisconsinology on Facebook saluted them by creating a fake picture of that famous New York Magazine cover that said the Brat Pack. But I put Tony, Willem, and Mark in the photo.
I love it. So that's your creation.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it stick.
I love it, Frank. That's great.
And Brat Pack adjacent would be, do you know Mark Rylance?
Oh, I feel like I know that name.
He starred, he's also known as the greatest living stage actor in the world.
Really?
He lives in England, but he was raised in Milwaukee, and he has a Wisconsin accent.
No way.
Yes way. They didn't know where he was from when he left Milwaukee, age 19, 20, went back, auditioned in UK for parts, and they had no idea where he was from. So they just wrote down Irish.
So,
but he would be Brat Pack adjacent.
Okay. When mm-hmm. How old is he? Is he still with us, or is this a guy that's passed away? Or?
Mark Rylance is 61, 62, something like that.
Okay.
I don't know exactly, but he graduated in the 70s.
Oh, he's great. 70s. I love this guy. Yeah,
he's huge.
Oh, he's a phenomenal actor. All right, let's pick this up. Let's pick up the talk with I would put him in the Brat Pack, Frank. This guy's got crazy talent.
I'll fix the picture and stick him in.
Just
there.
A recommendation.
He'd like it.
Listen, it's your website. You do what you want. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Frank Anderson is here. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We'll be back with more.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to hour number two of our broadcast, our Tuesday night broadcast. Great to have you with me. Great to have Don Rosen with me right now. Frank Anderson will be along at 8:20 to discuss celebrities from Wisconsin and a little bit of Wisconsin weird that you can find at wisconsinology.com. Right now we have a few more minutes with Don Rosen, who always has great celebrity stories. And Don, we kind of went up against the break. I miscalculated the time. I apologize, but you were right. You were just telling us about how you almost killed one of the most beloved actors in movie history.
Well, yeah, and just to recap, we were in taking a ride to the Stars homes in Beverly Hills on Roxbury Drive. And this woman crossed the street with her dog, and then the guy tries to follow, so I stop, and he waves me on, and he walks into the street, and I jam on the brakes. And so the guy sitting next to me says, just let him go. I said, he's waving me on. And he keeps stepping into the street, and finally I yelled out the window, and my friend next to me said, don't you say a word to him. And I said, Mr. Stewart, please go. And he gave me a little salute, and he walked across the street. And so the guy in the back seat said, if you would have killed him and run over him, it would have been world headlines. Idiot from Milwaukee kills national icon.
It would have been curtains. It would have been curtains for you, Rosen. That's great.
That would have been the end. But it, you know, it was, he kept stepping into the street every time he waved me on. He's an old guy at the time. I mean, I didn't know what he was going to do.
I can picture
and
that
woman
awkward.
Who was trying to keep...
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Dan.
Well, he was trying to keep up with his wife already across the street with the dog. So anyway, you know what I'm thinking? Next time I go to Taco Bell and they order a burrito, I'm going to ask and see what they do. Can I have some extra Schwabba sauce with that, please?
Do it.
And see what their response is.
They'll know.
Now, could you put some extra? Yeah. Do you have packets of Schwabba sauce?
There was a
comedian
called John Rigi from Chicago who went out and eventually became an executive producer on all these shows, including the Larry Sanders Show, which is one of my favorite shows. But he used to say he thought my full name sounded like a dessert, peach waba, like peach waba. Oh, you have fresh peach waba tonight. I've heard so many different things. One of my celebrity stories, Don, is speaking of the Larry Sanders Show. I was at Century City to see a movie, and I go into the restroom, and I'm at a urinal next to Jeffrey Tambor, who played Hank Kingsley.
Oh,
yeah. And his catchphrase on the Larry Sanders Show, he played like the Ed McMahon character, was, hey now. Yeah. And it took every fiber of my being not to say hey now while I was standing next to him using the urinal. It was very difficult not to say that.
You know, when people are at the urinal, I think this should be like an invisible wall where you can't talk to them, discuss anything with them, just ignore them. Don't look at them for one thing.
Yeah.
Don't examine. Don't
and don't smile. And yeah, just celebrity or not, just keep your thoughts to yourself. Here's another one. So you remember Steve Landberger? You know who that is? He was on Barney Miller. Yeah. A very funny stand-up comedian, too. He used to do this great joke about where do accents come from? Like, did people just come over from England and land in North Carolina and go, here we are, North Carolina? it was a great joke, but he was a very funny guy, very dry on Barney Miller, which was a great show. I was in front of him in the checkout aisle at a Ralph's grocery store in L.A., and we had a quick, you know, the guy in front of us had coupons like to the point where he was expecting them to owe him money by the time he left. And Landisberger and I shared this look like we just kind of rolled our eyes. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I just shared a moment with Steve Landisberger. And he actually said something and I smiled, chuckled, whatever. Less than a week later, I'm at the mall and he and I are both waiting for our wives outside a store. And I said, you know, I just saw you at Ralph's the other night. And he said, oh yeah, that guy with the coupons. And I said, yeah. And I thought, wow, is this how friendships start? Like, we're both waiting for our wives. We had already met. Like, could I be friends with a celebrity because we shared this moment in the checkout line and now we're both waiting for our wives? But it would have been way too forced.
This is how stalking starts.
I guarantee you, Steve Landisberg did not have stalkers. Yeah.
You were the stalker.
No, I know, but I'm sorry. He probably would have been thrilled because he does not have a guy like that.
That's right.
Does not have stalkers. He probably would have been happy. He probably would have paid me to get him back in the tabloids. I also was at a sandwich shop and Britney Spears sat two tables away with her two humongous bodyguards. That was kind of fun because parents were in town and I got this. I said, hey, that's Britney Spears over there. And she was just she had just broken, you know, and was huge now. So the point where my parents, who at the time were probably in their late 50s or 60s, knew who she was. It was kind of fun.
That is. That's a bit. My dad came back one day and he came back from work. He worked at the Throw Room in Manhattan all day. And he said, I saw Sonny and Cher today. I said, what do you mean you saw Sonny and Cher? He said, yeah, he was walking about 10 paces ahead of her, but it was Sonny and Cher. But he used to see people all the time in New York.
Yeah.
He just, that's where they are. He saw Jacqueline Kennedy once in New York. She was standing on a corner right across the street. My cousin had a great sighting. He's James Rosen. He used to work for Fox. Now he works for Newsmax. And he was in Washington getting out late. And there's this guy, older man, trying to cross the street. And he recognizes him. It's Muhammad Ali.
Oh,
and he
nice.
Says, hey, champ, you need some help crossing the street? He goes, yes, would you help me? And he tells him, gets him across the street. And he says, champ, you want me to take you anyplace else? He goes, no, I'm good.
Wow.
And that was he just happened to see him there.
That's a great
one. He recognized him as Muhammad Ali. That's a big one.
That is a real, he was the biggest star in the world at one point. Entertainment, sports, whatever. We're name dropping here with Don Rosen. It's fun. Join us and tell us what your favorite celebrity sighting is or encounter, whatever you want to call it. You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or drop us a text on the app. If you haven't downloaded it, you should. It's very easy to use. We're on statewide, so you just click on any one of the stations and hit the text icon. We'd love to hear your story. Did I tell you my Chevy Chase story, Don?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Okay, so I had sold a script like in 1999, my writing partner and I. We had about 6 months where we were in a lot of rooms writers would kill to be in. And I was going to a meeting at the Zucker Brothers company, a couple of Wisconsin guys. They did Airplane and Naked Gun. And exactly. So I'm riding up in the elevator and Chevy Chase gets on the elevator. And I'm like, it's just the two of us. And it's the slowest elevator in the world. And it's only going up like three floors. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of stories about him, how he can be difficult. He could be a jerk. And I thought, you know, I love Fletch so much. I like Seems Like Old Times, Foul Play, all these Chevy Chase movies. So I said something to him. I can't remember what it was. And he just nodded. And I stood there and I'm like, well, that didn't go that well. So I tried to rally and I said, was that okay? That's better than I love your work, right? And he said, yeah, you could have said you loved me. That would have really freaked me out. And I kind of laughed. And then I said, well, I do. He laughed, so I got to make Chevy Chase laugh. So that was kind of a fun one.
Do you know he was a drummer in a band with Donald Fagen and Walter Becker at one time? He was a drummer,
And tell them what that band became.
Oh, it's not Steeler's Wheel. It's
Steely Dan.
Steely Dan. I got Steeler's Wheel. Steeler's Wheel stuck in my Steely Dan, but he played with them before there was Steeler's Wheel. Do you remember when he did his late night show on TV?
Yes.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
That was the most painful,
horrible
premiere to ever watch.
Yeah.
Remember, he was shaking. His hands were shaking. His voice was quivering. I think he only lasted four nights.
He did. And you know what? I thought he was going to be good. I'm like, he's quick. He can think on his feet. I thought, you know, I really thought he was going to do well at that. And wow, was I wrong? Like, you're right. I don't even think he lasted a week. It's like he and Magic Johnson hold the record.
Nights, that was it.
Yeah. That's crazy. Hey, are you watching anything fun right now, Don? You binge watching anything or seen any summer blockbusters you can share with us?
No, I didn't see any movies yet. We just went to, here's a little movie thing we did. We went to Oshawa, Minnesota over the weekend. You know where that is?
No.
It's by the Great River Road near Rochester, where the Mayo Clinic is. They filmed a movie there. The whole movie was filmed Grumpy Old Men with Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau and Anne Margaret.
Nice.
So there's a restaurant that Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon eat at. It's called Sneezy's or Sleazy's or something.
I hope it's not called Sneezy's.
No. So Walter Matthau in the movie is standing outside the sign. And I recreated that scene. My wife took a picture of me just in that same exact spot so I could post Walter Matthau sitting there and I was standing there.
That's
the name
great.
Of the place. It's not Sleazy's. I know that. Sleepy's. I think it's called Sleepy's.
Sleepy's is better. Yeah. That's a good name.
Yeah. I would like a restaurant called Sleazy's.
Right. Or Sneezy's. Sneezy's would almost be worse. I'd rather eat with sleazy people than people sneezing all the time, you know. I got one more question for you, Don, before we let you go. Last night we asked listeners, who was your favorite Brat Pack member and who was your least favorite? In light of the documentary that's on Hulu by Andrew McCarthy, I'm sure you remember the Brat Pack. Can you answer that question? Favorite and least favorite?
Okay, well, my pastor at my church, he went to North Hollywood High School growing up.
Oh.
And one of the people in his class, all his classes, was Molly Ringwald. And he said he went to school with a lot of famous people, but she's the one who was in his classes all the time.
Wow.
And so I think Molly Ringwald, I like her in those movies.
Did she go to North Hollywood High School?
Yeah.
No kid. That's, if we had stayed there, that's maybe where my son would have gone if we couldn't afford private. You know, that's actually kind of a good school in a weird way. I had no idea she went there. We lived three blocks from there.
But Daddy, I don't want to go to that school. You're going to that school. The stars go there. But Daddy, I don't want to. You're going there.
Molly Ringwald, we got a lot of votes for her last night. She was very popular. She's one of the more likable ones, I say. Do you have a, we got to run, but do you have least favorite?
Okay. No, I don't have a least favorite. I thought Judd Nelson was good in The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
I liked him in that film. But, yeah, I don't have a least favorite, no.
You're too positive a guy for that.
You're all good.
Don, thanks so much for your time, buddy. This was always fun talking to you, man.
Okay, man.
Yeah, you're going to shout Pete Schwab at that parade, I hope, right?
Well, I'm going to scream Pete Schwab when they put the camera on me.
Just shout it. Just shout it all the time. All right. That's Don Rosen. Check out his show on the WRJN radio station here at Civic Media. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Peter Jest is my guest at the moment. His book, We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter, is available now, and it looks like a phenomenal read. Peter has a very interesting story, and I'm sure the book is phenomenal. I can't wait to read it, Peter. It says also in the description of the book, it says you were stubborn and independent. When would you have had to be stubborn as a music promoter?
Well, when I started out, I was like 100 pounds, skinny kid with braces that, good thing there weren't video calls then because no one would ever do business with me. So it was more like people always kept telling me, no, you can't bring national acts to campus. No, you're too young to open a music club. No, you can't do that. And I just refused to take no for an answer.
Wow, good for you. That's to do that at that age is pretty remarkable.
I sort of figured that, I'm 18 years old. I'm living in my parents' basement. If I made $2,000 a year, that'll be fine. You know, that's enough for beer and pizza.
Yeah.
You know, so the time to be risky was, 18, 19, living at home yet, at my parents' home.
Absolutely. Do you have, there's the mechanics of putting a show together and lining up acts and venues and all that kind of stuff. You said you were a music lover earlier. Does being a music lover and passionate about music make you a better promoter somehow? Does that play into it?
I think it makes you appreciate more. Although one of the golden rules as a promoter is you never really want to book people you like because it might be just you and your three friends at the show.
Oh, wow.
But I sort of throw that one out because I've liked the people I work with and sort of know how many tickets they're going to sell in that. But you just don't book the people you like or... You know, you're going to find you and your three friends there. So,
what are some of your favorite bands that have come out of Milwaukee historically?
Well, the Violent Femmes, and I must mention that the name came from Brian Ritchie, the bass player of the Violent Femmes. When Amy asked him what it was like to have Peter Jest, a 20-year-old, be the road manager in 1985, he said, "Well, we had fun and no one died." So that's what the title. We said, "Well, that's great. That's the title of the book right there."
I love
that. So that's where
that
came from. But, them and the Bodines have really, from my era, really conquered the world. So
yeah. I told this story recently on the show. I was in college at DePaul University in Chicago, and a friend of mine came to my room and said, "We have an extra U2 ticket tonight." It was like 1988, the Rosemont Horizon, and the Bodines were the opening act. I got dragged to the best concert of my life because I loved U2. And I discovered the Bodines that night. I ended up making a movie years later, and Kurt Newman scored it and gave me some Bodine songs. So it was like this cathartic, it was this beautiful serendipitous moment. And I'm, to this day, I'm a huge Bodines fan, and I love the sound, and I feel like it's very Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, I was at one of those shows, too. I think they did three nights at the Rosemont during that run or something, right? I think it was like, and yeah, they were very fortunate, the Bodines, to have the same booking agency as you, too.
Oh, okay.
And they did a lot, you know, that really helped them, you know, around the country.
Yeah, they had just won like the album of the year or debut album of the year or something in Rolling Stone. And I was like, I couldn't believe the show that I saw that night for $20.
Right. That'd be the service charge today. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. other than Shank Hall, what are some of your favorite concert venues in Milwaukee?
Well, around this, I do a lot in the state. I mean, one of my favorite is up there is the Meyer Theater.
Meyer Theater.
That's a great, you know, that's, yeah, I've done the Femmes there and Gordon Lightfoot and Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues. That's, it's very well run. It's fun. I got a show coming up with the Widener. Wausau, the Grand Theater in Wausau is very good.
Wow.
The Barrymore Theater in Madison.
Love it.
The Opera House in Oshkosh. And then I do a few shows in Milwaukee, sometimes at the PAPS, sometimes the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. So, you know, I just try to fit the right band in the right place.
I'm a huge Gordon Lightfoot fan, too. That's pretty cool that you've had a chance to meet him.
Yeah, I did always the Myers Theater, and I did a lot of dates with him. And, yeah, it was really, he was good, you know, he was good friends with John Prine, so we got along really well, and I always talked hockey with Gordon Lightfoot, you know, so that was always fun.
There's a great video I found on YouTube one night. Shortly after John Prine died, he was performing, I think, in Montreal or somewhere in Canada. And Gordon Lightfoot, it was like this guy's living room, and they're all just sitting there listening. It was probably 20 people. And they cut to Gordon Lightfoot, and he just has tears streaming down his face while he's listening to John Prine sing. It was just a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, no, I know. I've seen that. It's like the Gordon, I forgot what it is, but yeah, it was something that Gordon Lightfoot put together. And there's Gordon watching, you know, like you said, grinning ear to ear with John Prine. Yeah, that's very special. In fact, when John Prine got the Songwriters Hall of Fame, I was doing Gordon Lightfoot at the Meyer Theater, and I said, Gordon, can you do a short video, and I'll send it to Fiona, John's wife. And we went down to the dress room, and he said this nice thing about Donald and Lydia being his favorite song, and it was like a 45-second thing he did in the first take, how much he appreciated John Prine, and I sent it to them, and they used that, so...
This is so cool. I don't even know if any of this is in the book, but the stories you must have, it sounds like you could create like a whole Encyclopedia Britannica series. Just such fun stories, and I'm just so grateful to have you here tonight. This is fun. I hope the book does great. I'm glad no one died, by the way. That's great.
Yeah, I was that was it. Yeah, not yet. So it's officially out, and I made it. That was always the joke that, you know.
Hey,
I wouldn't make it to the book release, then my wife would take all the profits.
Oh, that would be ironic. Yeah, we don't want that. Hey, we have about a minute left. Are you watching anything you could recommend, Peter? Do you binge watch TV or movies or anything?
Well, we're a little slow here at the Just household. We're watching Ted Lasso now.
Okay.
So we're a little behind. So that's the new one. And we just watched, you know, some of the Walking Dead stuff, things like that.
Yeah.
So, and the Disney Star Wars stuff we watched, so.
And you're not really behind either, because there's so much content out there. You can't possibly get to it all, you know what I mean? Like in a timely fashion. So
right,
I play catch up a lot
too.
Especially
when you go to shows 3 times a week, it's hard to watch that much TV. So
exactly. Well, I hope our paths cross at some point, Peter. This was a lot of fun. Thanks so much, and best of luck with the book, and keep bringing the music to the people. That's great.
Great. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Have a great night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's Peter Jest. The book is We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. So check that out. Thank you to Peter. Conrad, what are you doing? You're sticking your finger up in the air. Are you checking the wind? Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.